Good afternoon. It is 4:30 and 78 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Logan Pemberton.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
It's my hope that today's ruling sends two clear messages to the Commonwealth's governor and its legislative leaders.
A judge has struck down the state's pension reform bill.
A candidate for magistrate in Letcher County has been arrested.
The state is preparing to implement work requirements for Medicaid recipients.
Another case of Hep A has been reported in Boyd County.
The Rowan County Jail is nearly ready for occupancy.
In sports, the Kentucky basketball team has landed another commitment.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A judge has struck down the controversial pension reform bill, declaring it unconstitutional. According to WKYT, Franklin Circuit Court Judge Philip Shepard says the General Assembly violated the state constitution when they passed Senate Bill 151. The bill in question would move recently hired teachers into a hybrid plan that doesn't guarantee them the same benefits, but puts less risk on the state. Attorney General Andy Beshear spoke during a press conference today.
Today's ruling holds the General Assembly violated Kentucky's Constitution when it turned an 11-page sewer bill into a 291-page pension bill and passed it in just 6 hours with no public comment or participation. The public simply cannot be shut out of the legislative process.
With the ruling, the state cannot enforce the reform law. However, it is likely that the governor's office will appeal the ruling.
A candidate for Letcher County magistrate has been arrested for the second time since winning the Democratic nomination. WYMT reports 61-year-old Emery Mullins of Neon was arrested yesterday after being indicted on charges of child pornography, sexual abuse of a minor under 12 years of age, and retaliating against a witness. Earlier this month, Mullins was charged with third-degree criminal trespassing and harassment.
A Montgomery County man was arrested last night on drug charges after police say he overdosed on heroin while caring for a newborn child. WKYT reports 36-year-old Eddie Johnson was apprehended outside a dollar store in Jeffersonville after authorities received a call that an intoxicated man was pushing a newborn in a shopping cart. Witnesses say Johnson told them he used heroin before he collapsed. He is charged with wanton endangerment and child abuse or neglect.
A Fleming County woman accused of shoplifting has been indicted by a grand jury. According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, 44-year-old Lana Brown is charged with theft by unlawful taking of over $500, but less than $10,000. The indictment alleges Brown took three or more drills from Steve's Ace Hardware store in Flemingsburg in early March. She was arrested on May 16th and lodged in the Mason County Detention Center.
We'll have more news after this short break.
Support for MSPR is provided by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, presenting Fazoli's Freedom Fest on Tuesday, July 3rd. Americana, rock, and gospel music on two stages, Carter County Cruisers, Bookmobile, food and craft vendors, paper airplane contest, and kids activity zone. Family-friendly activities begin at 2 p.m. and the Thunder Over Triplet fireworks show at 9:30 in downtown Moorhead on Tuesday, July 3rd. More information on Facebook under Moorhead Freedom Fest.
The Commonwealth is just weeks away from the implementation of work requirements for Medicaid recipients. According to Spectrum News' Pure Politics, the first-of-its-kind Medicaid reform will provide a waiver for Medicaid recipients once approved by the federal government. The plan must first be challenged in court, but the Bevin administration is expected to challenge any ruling that opposes the waiver. Secretary Adam Meyer with the Cabinet for Health and Family Services says if it fails, the decisions get tough.
What that's probably going to likely result in is removal of dental and vision benefits, potentially pharmacy benefits, from the adult eligibility group, the low-income adult eligibility group. So not really touching the traditional group necessarily, but for those groups, this was our way. The 1115 waiver with Kentucky Health was our way to preserve Medicaid for the expansion population and also to mitigate the diversion of resources from that traditional population.
Since this system is the first of its kind in the nation, the rest of the country is expected to be watching to see how well the implementation is handled. If the courts oppose the plan, the Medicaid expansion that took place under Governor Steve Beshear could face a full-scale rollback.
Another food service worker in Boyd County has been diagnosed with hepatitis A. Officials with the Ashland to Boyd County Health Department state it's the 10th confirmed case of the disease. According to WSAZ, the employee worked at Callahan's American Pub and Grill. The restaurant's management is working with the health department to prevent the disease from spreading any further. Health officials say the risk of customers contracting the virus from the restaurant is very low.
2 years in the making, Rowan County's $18 million detention center is nearly ready for occupancy. Judge Executive Walter Blevins says crews are finishing up $16,000 worth of work on two minor change orders and some added electrical improvements. According to Blevins, that work has pushed back the new jail's opening until around the 1st of July.
It's frustrating because it's costing us money, and the money is time, and also we're not filled up that jail. We think we'll fill it up relatively rapidly. I mean, there's overcrowding in most jail facilities. Looks like it's continuing to go up and not going the other way. So we think we'll fill that up, and we'll hopefully start producing some good revenues for the community.
Blevins says a public grand opening for the new 275-bed Rowan Jail should be held in the next couple of weeks.
While saying never say never, Mayor Jim Tom Trent says building a public pool is not a high priority for the city right now. According to Trent, the town has a bonding capacity of $10 million, and with plans set to build a splash pad and a new police and fire station in the next year, along with the recent purchase of a new ladder truck for its fire department, Moorhead is right at the recommended threshold of three-quarters of that figure. Trent says it all comes down to determining the wisest way to use taxpayer dollars.
Do we spend all of our safe bonding capacity on one item, or do we do police and fire, splash pad, fire truck, buying property, $1 million? We bought property. What's getting the more bang for the buck, and what's going to be really doing the best service for your community?
Trent points out that building a pool could cost between $4 and $7 million, and such a facility would only be used 3 months of the year. Due to structural problems, Moorhead had to close its 43-year-old public pool in 2014.
An assisted living facility in Moorhead recently came away with no service deficiencies in a recent survey done by the Office of the Inspector General. The annual report reviews a number of different attributes at medical facilities around Kentucky, such as patient well-being and sanitation. The most recent inspection at the Life Care Center in Moorhead was done on May 17th. Bill Hurst is the executive director at Life Care. He says facilities can face penalties if they aren't up to par in meeting current standards.
It's kind of like getting a grade in school. There are different levels of deficiencies. There are certain tags like D&E. You have to do a plan of correction, but there's really no penalty other if they accept the plan of corrections. But if you get different lower letters, they can be financial penalties. They can be denial. You can't take admissions. But, yes, they can be different types of penalties.
Hurst adds that earning a perfect score on this IG survey is something that's extremely hard to do, especially when specific needs of nearly 100 different patients must be met on a daily basis.
The Moorhead Post Office will be hosting a passport fair this Saturday for anyone interested in traveling abroad. Customers may visit the post office from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. without an appointment. Passport books cost around $150, including the processing fee and photo fee. Susan Wright with the United States Postal Service says it's best to plan ahead.
It can take up to 6 weeks to get a passport processed from the State Department and returned to you. So certainly planning in advance is something that we recommend.
Requirements and guidelines are different for minors interested in getting a passport. More information can be found at www.travel.state.gov.
Law enforcement officials in Mason County are moving forward with plans to improve security around local schools. WMKY's Cody Robinson has the story.
The Mason County Board of Education made an announcement earlier in the year about plans to build two substations to house law enforcement officers on campus. The Ledger Independent quotes Superintendent Rick Ross as saying that one of those substations would be located near the STEAM Academy, while the other location will be determined later. It's been speculated the second substation could be constructed at the entrance to the main campus, which will allow it to serve Straub Elementary, Mason Middle School, and the district's high school. Maysville Police Chief Ron Rice says the facilities will be much like guard shacks. They will not only allow his department and the Mason Sheriff's Office to provide a presence at the schools, but it will also allow them to keep an eye on what's happening at them. School district officials hope to have substations built in time for the next academic year, which begins in August. For WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
Part of Kentucky 5 in Boyd County will be closed tomorrow for repairs. The State Department of Highways will be working on the section between Naples and Little Garner Roads from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., and Route 5 will be closed to traffic during that time. Ellen Blair is with the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet. He says a collapsing culvert pipe underneath the road is causing the pavement to sag, and it could soon become a hazard to motorists.
So our crews are going to go in there, dig it out, and put a new pipe in place. Route 5 is an important connector road in Boyd County, and we need to keep it in good shape. So, you know, this repair will fix the roadway and prevent any future problems.
Blair says travelers who typically use Route 5 can also take Little Garner Road to Route 60 or vice versa. Motorists are asked to heed all warning signs and to slow down in work zones. Kentucky 5 should be reopened to traffic by late tomorrow.
The city of Augusta has a new tourism director. WMKY's Jacob Lindberg reports.
Janet Hunt told the Ledger Independent she applied for the position because she enjoys living in Augusta and wants to promote its local businesses and citizens. In addition to working in tourism, Hunt will take charge of the city's parks and recreation. Hunt is a Fleming County native who has lived in Augusta for 11 years. She replaces Lacey Holleran, who left Augusta to accept the tourism director position in Maysville. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
The new Bridging Kentucky program is initially scheduled to fix or replace 1,000 bridges around the Commonwealth over the next 2 years, but a state transportation cabinet official says that's just the beginning. According to Ed Green, more bridges will be slated for improvements after those projects chosen to be worked on in the initial 2 years of the $700 million initiative have been completed.
These are the bridges that are in the most need. So most of the bridges are in operation. About 60 of those bridges are closed currently, and the others are all rated in poor condition. So these are the bridges that are in need of repair.
Of the 1,000 bridges that are supposed to be redone over the next 2 years, 32 of them are in northeast Kentucky, including 8 in Fleming County. One project is scheduled for Rowan County. A bridge over Triplett Creek on Little Perry Road will be improved.
Kentucky Power is offering tips on how to stay cool and keep the bill down during the summer months. As temperatures rise, air conditioners and cooling systems have to work harder to keep homes cool. This means it isn't unusual to see the electric bill higher than normal. Kentucky Power spokesperson Allison Barker says one of the main things that contributes to excess power use is poorly insulated homes and air leaks.
Weatherization plays an important part in having energy bills that are lower. 25% of the energy we use can be lost to air leaks in the home, whether that's in the summer when we're talking about keeping the cold air in that our air conditioners produce, or if it's the wintertime and we're trying to keep the cold air out.
Barker goes on to name a few other cooling off tips for the summer, such as closing the shades on south-facing windows during the day and keeping ceiling fans on to circulate cold air throughout the house.
The Kentucky voter registration numbers hit a turning point last week, according to recently released state data. For the first time since the World War II era, the Democratic Party can no longer claim a majority of registered voters in the state. Party registration dipped to 49.9% amid continuing gains for Republicans. State Democratic Party spokesman Brad Bowman.
Well, I would say, you know, all politics are cyclical, but what we are experiencing now with all new people at KDP is that we are shaping a Kentucky Democratic Party that for a long time did not have contact with rural and even some urban Kentucky voters.
While Republican Party spokesman Trace Watson concedes the new stats aren't likely to move the needle much in November, he says they could affect the makeup of state boards and commissions because they are required to reflect the demographics of the state. Taking a look at the weather tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms, lows around 70 degrees, chance of rain at 50%. Thursday, thunderstorms likely, highs around 78 degrees, chance of rain at 90%. Thursday night, thunderstorms likely in the evening, then the chance of scattered thunderstorms later on, lows around 69, chance of rain at 80%. Friday, mixed clouds and sun with scattered thunderstorms, highs around 82, chance of rain at 60%. Friday night, thunderstorms during the evening, followed by occasional showers overnight, lows around 66, chance of rain at 80%. Looking at the listening area temperatures, Flemingsburg, 73 degrees, Lexington, 77 degrees, Ashland, 83 degrees, Winchester, 76 degrees, Inez, 84 degrees, and in Moorhead, it's 78 degrees.
For our feature segment today, citizens in Martin County are hoping to see progress with a decades-old water issue. In the third of a four-part series, WMKY's Leanne Akers looks at the current Public Service Commission's investigation of the Eastern Kentucky community's water.
Nina McCoy is a retired science teacher who is active with the Martin County Concerned Citizen Group. That organization came together to help bring awareness to the community about the area's water district. McCoy says the group has been actively participating in the most recent Public Service Commission investigation with the help of the Appalachian Citizens Law Center out of Whitesburg,
which is a nonprofit group that helps communities get basically help with finding out how to empower the community. And so we've been working with Mary Cromer, and we've gone to Frankfurt for several meetings where the PSC actually has hearings and they call witnesses to find out what is going on.
McCoy is glad the PSC investigation is bringing issues to light, but knows that the organization cannot look into illegalities concerning the district.
We feel like that in order to really help our community feel the trust in this water plant, we need to, you know, just wipe out all the cobwebs, clean out all the dark places, find out exactly what's going on. But I feel like that if we actually can find out what the misuse has been, we can actually start with a clean slate.
While following the PSC investigation, the group learned the district is currently $900,000 in debt.
Which is the reason the crisis occurred. The crisis in January was because we didn't have the pumps to pump the water out of the river. And, of course, then the freezing occurred, and we didn't have the money to pay to get the pumps out of the shop.
McCoy says the region does have running water for the time being, but that doesn't alleviate all the issues.
One of the problems is that we've constantly had water violations for what they call disinfection byproduct, and that trihalomethanes, haloacetic acids, and basically it's a big part of this has always been that the water plant is just so poorly maintained. And so we feel like that $3 million could have saved the community back in the day.
McCoy says it isn't about just having water, but about having water the community would be willing to drink.
20 years ago, we were promised to be brought up to compliance, and we're still not up to compliance.
On tomorrow's feature segment, we'll look at the health of the residents of Martin County. For WMKY News, I'm Leanne Akers.
It is currently 4:48 and 79 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Logan Pemberton, here with Chaz Jenkins. We are so glad to have you listening to WMKY News, coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studios here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this cloudy Wednesday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the City of Moorhead, home to Moorhead State University, St. Clair Healthcare, and Moorhead Conference Center. The City of Moorhead supports efforts to encourage community livability, economic prosperity, and cultural outreach. Facebook and online at moorhead-ky.gov.
The Cats get deeper. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The University of Kentucky has landed another basketball commitment. Stanford grad transfer Reed Travis picked the Wildcats over Villanova earlier today. After graduating from Stanford a year early, Travis will have 1 year of eligibility left and will be cleared to play immediately.
I'm looking forward to a fresh start and continuing to pursue my dreams. Looking for a school, the biggest thing that I wanted was to align both my academic and my athletic interest. After getting to know the staff and the players on my visit, it became very clear to me that there was no better place to continue this next step in the journey. I'm excited to work hard every day and to give everything of myself to this program so that we can compete for a national championship.
The 6'8 forward averaged 20 points and 9 rebounds a game during his junior year at Stanford. Kentucky is now the favorite to win next season's national championship, according to Vegas oddsmakers. A member of the Kentucky basketball team is looking forward to the chance to finally prove himself. 6'4 redshirt freshman Jamal Baker missed all of last season after having two knee surgeries. With Coach John Calipari promising the Cats will often use four-guard lineups next season, Baker hopes he'll factor into that mix. Now healthy, the Menifee, California native is focused on getting himself ready to compete for one of those spots by getting in top physical condition.
This summer is probably going to be a whole project to get me in the great shape that I want to be. I'm not in terrible shape right now, but yeah, I'm doing pretty well.
A four-star prospect coming out of high school, Baker was touted for his three-point shooting ability. He averaged 17 points a game during his senior year at Eleanor Roosevelt High School. By July the 1st, Morehead State basketball coach Preston Spradlin will have most of his team's players on campus, and Spradlin says he and his assistants plan on keeping the Eagles busy.
Just like last summer, we'll have every day of that month of July planned out, whether it's team meals, whether it's team activities, whatever, you know, obviously the things that we do on the court. This year, the NCAA has increased the amount of time that we're allowed to have basketball instruction on the floor. That's gone from 2 hours a week to four, and so we're excited about that.
Members of the MSU basketball team will start official preseason conditioning drills when the fall semester starts on campus in August. Some notes from the NBA. The Charlotte Hornets have agreed to send Dwight Howard to the Brooklyn Nets for center Timofey Mozgov, 2 second-round draft picks, and cash. Also, San Antonio Spurs coach Greg Popovich traveled Tuesday to Southern California and met with star Kawhi Leonard prior to Thursday's draft. Leonard has demanded to be traded from the Spurs, preferably to either the Los Angeles Lakers or Clippers. And the Hawks are now considering picking Slovenian star Luka Doncic with the number 3 pick on Thursday if, as projected, DeAndre Ayton and Marvin Bagley are picked 1 and 2 by Phoenix and Sacramento. The Cincinnati Reds closed out their two-game interleague series earlier today with the Detroit Tigers at Great American Ballpark with a 5-3 win. The Reds got home runs from Scooter Jeanette, Eugenio Suarez, and Adam Duvall to help out winning pitcher Tyler Mahle. Rossiel Iglesias came in to get the save today. Behind Joey Votto's grand slam, the Reds won their series opener last night against the Tigers 9-5. However, the biggest thing about that game may have been the 7 innings of shutout ball thrown by winning pitcher Sal Romano, who's now had 2 very good starts back-to-back.
Yeah, I mean, I've had some, 2 good games in a row. It doesn't take away from what happened for a month straight. So I got to just, take this as another good one and, enjoy it today and back to work again tomorrow.
The 24-year-old right-hander last night improved his record to 4-7 and lowered his ERA to 5.18. Some afternoon scores from around baseball. Earlier today, the Indians beat the White Sox 12-0. The Phillies topped the Cardinals 4-3. Toronto beat Atlanta 5-4. At last check, the Cubs lead the Dodgers 3-0 in the 7th inning. Miami leads San Francisco 1-0 in the 3rd. And Oakland leads San Diego 4-0 in the 3rd inning as well. Round County football coach Kelly Ford is about to give his players some time off for the KHSAA's summer dead period. For a couple of weeks starting next Monday, high school athletic teams in Kentucky are not allowed to have organized team workouts of any kind. Ford has warned the Vikings to make sure they stay in shape over that time.
You get 2 weeks here at the very end that we don't get to see y'all, can't talk to you or communicate with you. So when we come back, we're at July 10th when it's first official practice. It's time to roll and, you're 2 weeks away, almost 3 weeks away from your first scrimmage.
The Vikings will start light workouts in helmets only on July the 9th. They can start full contact work on August the 1st. Round's first game is August the 17th at home against Morgan County. A veteran member of the Cincinnati Bengals admits it's been a process when it comes to learning offensive coordinator Bill Lazor's new system. However, Pro Bowl wide receiver A.J. Green says while that effort is taking time, it is going well.
It's different. When you got something, you start from fresh. Everybody's learning. Everybody's anxious. Everybody trying to prove themselves again. Got a lot of new coaches, and it's pretty good. Like I said, man, we work hard these last 9 weeks, and I feel good about this offense.
The Bengals wrapped up their mini camp last week. They'll start preseason training camp at Paul Brown Stadium on July the 26th. Finally, in sports, NASCAR driver Joey Logano traded his race car for a backhoe during a recent visit to Louisville. Paul Miles reports on that.
Joey Logano is using his foundation to help build a new activity center at a park in Louisville's West End.
NASCAR has given me an amazing platform to reach out and really make a difference in people's lives.
Next month, he'll drive his number 22 Ford in the Quaker State 400 at Kentucky Speedway, a track known for its challenging turns.
That's what makes racing good at Kentucky, is the cars that they slide around. You're going up the racetrack, there's mistakes, that happen quite a bit, and that's what makes it great for the fans.
Logano is seeking his first Monster Energy Cup win at Kentucky Speedway. I'm Paul Miles.
And that's a look at sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Women's basketball will host an elite camp from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. on Saturday, August 11th, at MSU's Recreation and Wellness Center. The camp is open to girls in grades 9 through 12. More information by calling the Women's Basketball Office at 783-5137 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Even though the Dow Industrials finished with a loss today, the broader market was stronger, with both the NASDAQ and S&P 500 closing higher, and these were boosted by deal-making activity and potentially improving trade relations between the U.S. and the European Union. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did show a loss of 42.41 at 24,657.80. The S&P 500 was up 4.73 at 2767.32, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 55.93 to finish at 7781.52. And the tech-heavy NASDAQ was up 0.7% and also closed at an all-time high led by Facebook and Netflix, which rose 2.3% and 2.9% respectively. Real estate stocks also outperformed today. Disney raised its bid for 21st Century Fox assets to $38 a share, surpassing an offer made by rival Comcast. And this announcement of this new bid from Disney sent Fox shares higher by 7.5%. Shares of Walgreens Boots Alliance rose more than 5% after S&P Dow Jones Indices announced it would replace GE on the Blue Chip Index. GE stock dropped 0.5% in trading today. And Starbucks saw its stock drop by almost 10% after announcing it plans to close more than 150 stores in the next year and after lowering its sales guidance for the third quarter. In the commodities markets, oil was up 1% at $65.54 a barrel. Gold was down 0.6% at $1,271.30 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were fairly strong, with the Stock 600 index up 0.25%. In Asia, stocks were stronger today, with the Nikkei up 1.25% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.75%. And among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Intel and Microsoft, while the worst performers were Travelers and McDonald's. In the S&P 500, the best performers were 21st Century Fox and Apache, and the worst performers were Starbucks and Oracle. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 10 cents at 78.32, CSX up 4 cents at 64.87, AEP up 2 cents at 66.89, AK Steel up 9 cents at 4.72, Marathon Petroleum down 70 cents at 73.82, and U.S. Bancorp is down 38 cents to finish at 51.27. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Rowan and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more is available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
Looking at the weather tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Lows around 70 degrees, chance of rain at 50%. Thursday, thunderstorms likely, highs around 78 degrees, chance of rain at 90%. Thursday night, thunderstorms likely in the evening, and the chance of scattered thunderstorms later on, lows around 69, chance of rain at 80%. Friday, mixed clouds and sun with scattered thunderstorms, highs around 82, chance of rain at 60%. Friday night, thunderstorms during the evening, followed by occasional showers overnight, lows around 66, chance of rain at 80%. And Saturday, rain showers early with some sunshine later in the day, highs around 82, chance of rain at 60%.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Chuck Mraz, Cody Robinson, Jacob Lindberg, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Braxton Howard, and Tilden Johnson. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment came from WMKY's own Leanne Akers. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Logan Pemberton. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.